I've been doing a most enjoyable thing, welcoming a number of persons who have not been here before. I'm glad they're here. I'm glad you're here. It's good to see each one of you. We may come for various reasons. Perhaps many of us come because we're troubled about what's happening in our country. Perhaps some are here because they're rejoicing about a new grandchild or whatever. I'm Dean Moyer, by the way. You'll be hearing from our pastor, Alicia, and also from Anne, who'll be the liturgist, and Martha, who'll be, we're still having hymn sings, I believe, right? And we're also going to hear about, isn't that awful? Come on up, Cheryl. Well, I try to remember what I'm trying to remember. Blessings in a basket, that's it. Oh. I don't know if that means I'm a basket piece this morning or not.
That's perfectly all right.
Share with us.
I will. My name is Sharon Smith, and I'm really excited. I can't believe that we did this. Am I not?
We got to be able to hear you.
Oh, can you hear me?
A little closer.
Now?
That's
very We raised $10,400. Do you believe that? That's so wonderful.
Could you repeat that again?
$10,400. We will be able to feed 39 students because they take the money for 3 years. And we only missed feeding 40 by $150. So it's really, really exciting. And I want to read to you the thank you note that I got that we got from Jeannie Brown. Jeannie and Charlie were here the day I spoke to you before and answered questions. They're from Bellevue Heights. I'm continually amazed that you discovered our Blessings in a Backpack mission and have been so willing to be a huge part of it. Your congregation obviously has enormous dedication to Christian mission. For so many people to have donated money and sponsored children so quickly demonstrates their dedication to Christ and his work. With your terrific help, we will be able to feed nearly one half of the Delaware children on school year weekends. We hope this will help with their health and concentration. We will let you know when we will need packers and drivers from University Church. We thank you with all our hearts. Yours in Christ, Jeannie Brown. So, congratulations. You did a wonderful job. Thank you.
And I forgot all those housekeeping details, too. Rocking chairs in the back for those who would like to rock, or for those who have a child they would like to rock. Restrooms are out that way or out this way. I better go on with a couple more announcements. First, we have a book for sale. I was going to hold my copy up. You'll hear more about it later on this morning. But on the table, out in that way, you will find that book for sale for $8, which will be our study book for the fall, America's Original Sin by Jim Wallace. I've been reading the book. It's a most moving book. It's a book that will hopefully disturb you and get you thinking. At the same table, you can register children for the Daily Vacation Bible School. So you can take care of both those things at the same table. On Friday evening, August the 18th, we'll be gathering for a movie, Before the Flood. There'll be a potluck dinner at the beginning. Bring your dish to share and join us for hearing more about climate disruption. Church and Society team invites new persons who would like to be involved. They'll be meeting at 6:30 on August the 16th. This is the one on which you can register your attendance. Let us know you are here. And if you have a prayer request you would like mentioned in our prayer time, put it on this form and turn it in when the ushers collect it. If there's no prayer request, turn it in with the offering plate later on. You can read this green thing for more about the dinner on Friday evening. I think I must have still forgotten something, but I believe, what? Oh, but we're going to sing. And Martha's going to lead us and take your suggestion.
Good morning. For those of you who are visiting, we start our summer services with a hymn sing, where the hymns come from the congregation. If you don't mind, I'm going to pick the first one today, only because with the events of this, the past few days, this hymn has just been going through my head. 560, help us accept each other. And it's short, so I'd love us to sing two verses. Normally, we just do one. So.
Help us accept each other as Christ accepted us. Teach us as sister, brother, each person to embrace. Be present, Lord, among us, and bring us to believe we are ourselves accepted and meant to love and live.
Can we sing the second verse?
Teach us, O Lord, your lessons, as in our daily life we struggle to be human and search for hope and faith. Teach us to care for people, nor all, not just for some, to love them as we find them, or as they may become.
Thank you. 98. We'll do the first verse.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin.
And we'll continue with a few more weeks of this, so save your hymns if we didn't get to them today. I'll be singing in English, but feel free to sing in Spanish if Jeannie will be. I know Jeannie will be singing in Spanish. You can do as you will.
Come to the lake shore, looking neither for wealthy nor wise ones. You only asked me to follow humbly. Oh Lord, with your eyes you have searched me and was smiling, have
Pastor Alicia has asked that we end with a hymn that will be up on the screen, How Long.
We wait for your coming, we wait for new life, we wait in our despairing, we wait through the strife, but how long, how long? Forsaken, we yearn to be free. Sam said change is gonna come, but right now we can't breathe. How long? How long? How much longer must we wait?
Good morning. So right now is usually when I'm all chipper and happy to see you. But today I got to tell you I'm kind of a mess. I turned on the TV yesterday at 11 a.m. and realized there was a lot going on, and that stuff was happening in our country. And all I could think was, how long? How long before we get it right? And so I am happy to be here. I'm so happy to be with all of you. And I hope together we can lament and we can discern and we can decide what's next and how we as individuals and as a congregation are going to be able to move forward. So good morning. I'm Pastor Alicia. It's so nice to meet you or see you. And welcome. So let's get started on our stained glass window theme here. Our worship series theme, Stained Glass, I Love to Tell the Story, brings to mind words from a song many of us learned as children. I love to tell the story and all that there is in that. We are surrounded in this space by the stories of Jesus as told through our stained glass windows. The windows have been telling us this story since 1921, when the sanctuary, rebuilt after being destroyed by a fire, was dedicated. Each of the 8 sets of windows along the side of the sanctuary depict a period of Jesus' life and ministry. And the window behind the organ displays his ascension into heaven at the end of his earthly ministry. So the one that's behind, come on by at night. Kind of check it out, because we have lights that go shine through it so that you can see that window at night. And just so you know, the order of the windows are, 1 is that one way over there, and 2 is here, so it's the second one over from the back on this side. That's the one we're going to talk about today. And then 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And then 9 is in the back. Okay, so that's the order in which we're going to go. So you can almost get a sneak peek on the next week by looking at the window. We will reflect on one set of windows each week, telling the story of what is happening and considering what learning that story has for us in our time and our place. This week, the windows that we are considering depict a few stories that we have about Jesus' childhood. The left window, Mary, Joseph, and Jesus are fleeing to Egypt following last week's final window displaying the visit of the Magi. Once the Magi had alerted Herod to the presence of the new, unauthorized king of the Jews, Joseph was warned in a dream that the family needed to flee to Egypt to avoid Herod's slaughter of male babies and toddlers. In the center window that formed the theme for this week, family business, Jesus is in the temple talking to the scribes about the scriptures and stories of their faith. Our first hymn will tell the details of this story. The bottom line is, it isn't easy being a parent, even when your kid is the Son of God. And finally, the right window shows Mary teaching Jesus the stories and beliefs of their faith as Joseph and the angels, seems like angels are always there, look on. What an important message about the passing the faith onto our children. At UUMC, we have Vacation Bible School coming up. It's going to be August 20th through the 24th, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. The theme is Experience and Discover God Everywhere. What a great follow-up to our series that we just finished with the Celtic spirituality. So if you have a child between 5 and 11 years old, be sure to stop by. We have a table out here, as Dean said, to register them. And, of course, you can register them today, next Sunday, and then even right on the spot next Sunday evening. So if you're over 11, which I know some people sitting here are, consider being a volunteer to assist in bringing our faith and our faith stories, our family business, to our youth. Let us join together in our theme hymn, I Love to Tell the Story.
Good morning. Can everybody hear me? Oh, good. Thanks. I'm Ann Owens, and I will be your literist this morning. Please stand if you're able to join me in the call to worship. Am I saying all right? That's good. Oh, okay. Better? Okay. Okay. These words are quotes from the Plates Project, which is right here, written by our outreach program participants that are on the clothesline right here in front of the sanctuary. Join me in the call to worship. Everyone has an opinion about hunger. Most people, especially most decision makers, have hypothetical opinions about hunger because they are not personally hungry. The Central New York Food Bank and our Friday community ask the opinions of people personally living with scarcity. These are their observations. Politicians should know about this hunger.
When people do not have food, it creates other problems, such as crime and anger.
Politicians should know about this hunger. Politicians should know this about hunger. I care about ending hunger because
everyone deserves to be fed, no matter who or what color they are.
I care about ending hunger because I care about ending hunger because I visit this food pantry because
the people feel like family.
I visit this food pantry because
wonderful program. I just received medical insurance. I haven't had it for 8 years.
I visit this food pantry because both physical and spiritual hunger are present in our community. We seek to meet these needs for ourselves and others through our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service. Teach us to recognize hunger in all its guises. Give us the spiritual confidence to be about the family business in all the ways you can, all is to be. Amen. Please remain standing and join us now in singing our opening hymn, a Carolyn Winfrey Gillette song, Jesus' Parents Left the Temple. It's displayed on the screen, and it is sung to the familiar tune of Infant Holy, Infant Lowly.
Jesus' parents left the temple with a traveling caravan. They were sure their son was with them as they left Jerusalem. Soon they cried, "We cannot find him. He was somehow left behind them." So they went to search for what they witnessed was astounding. What a wondrous sight they saw. For the questions he was raising showed his knowledge was amazing. All who heard him were in awe. Still his mother had to scold him, for she knew
home with God as he deepened his faith in the temple, we so are at home as we come into this beautiful space to worship him and to learn about our family business. Let us now celebrate our home and our family by greeting one another, old friends and friends to be, by shaking hands with a fist bump or a friendly hello, saying, "Good morning," or "Peace with you." I now invite you to share the peace of Christ with your neighbors.
Good morning, everyone. If the children will please come forward if they would like, and if they're able, let's bring them forward and sing together, Alle, Alle, Alleluia.
Thank you.
cute. Come on, let's sit in the big chairs today. So I have three brave older children that are here to sit with me. Thank you so much. I was thinking about sitting here, but I realized people wouldn't see us with a plate, so we'll look official up here, okay? So did any of you hear about what happened yesterday in Charlottesville, Virginia? No, okay. So I'll tell you about that in a minute, but this is what I wanted to talk to you about I'll tell you about it now. So yesterday, in Charlottesville, Virginia, there's a statue of Robert E. Lee, and he was a general, I think, of the Confederate States of America. Was he a general, Elise? Okay. The town, I believe, voted for that statue to come down, and some people didn't like that decision. So the people are people who are they were called Unite the Right, and so they were people that belonged to the KKK and self-proclaimed white supremacists. So they were there to rally, and that was a planned rally. And then some other people came to protest that they were to protest this stance, and they came and they had signs that said love, not hate, and stuff like that. Well, unfortunately, there was violence, and there were people getting beat up and stuff like that. And so I wanted to talk to all of you about this and about how... as Christians, we're called to love. And so my prayer is that all of you, but especially our children, as you go forward in your life, you remember that no matter where you come from, no matter what language you speak, no matter what the color of your skin, no matter how you grew up, if you grew up rich or poor, no matter, God loves you, and as Christians, we love everyone. So I wanted to talk to you all about all of this, and to be very clear that I believe that God wants us to love everyone. And so I'm wondering if you have anything to say after I said all that. I kind of said a lot of things and didn't really ask a lot of questions. Do you have any thoughts or comments? Let me give this to you because I forgot it.
I think the fact that they want to take it down isn't right because there was a reason why they put it up in the first place.
Oh, the statue? Okay. What do you think about the violence?
I think there needs to be more people like Martin Luther King who understand both points of views and try to help the both groups see each other's points of view, but not negatively.
Right. Have talk instead of violence. That's good. Any other thoughts? All right. Well, will you pray with me? Does anyone else want to pray? Would any of you like to pray? I'm putting you on the spot because you're older. You're not little, so... No one's volunteering. Okay, let's pray. God of love and light, we thank you for children, and we thank you for your message of love. We thank you that the greatest commandment is to love you and love our neighbor as ourself. Thank you for teaching us this so that in our core we know this and we can go out and follow your lead. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thank you for being brave and coming up and sitting in the big chairs with me. I appreciate it. Okay, so we are a praying church. And as a praying church, we would like to invite you to share any of your prayer concerns or prayer joys as a part of our worship. And so you can fill out that purple slip, and our ushers will be coming down in a moment to grab them. And we'll sing as we collect prayers.
Thank you.
Let us join together in a time of prayer as we pray silently, followed by a short spoken prayer, and then the Lord's Prayer in whatever way or language that you feel closest to God. God is with us lying down. God is with us rising up. God is with us in each ray of light. Christ is with us sleeping. Christ is with us waking. Christ is with us watching every day and night, each day and night. God is with us protecting. The Lord is with us directing. The Spirit with us strengthening forever and forevermore, ever and evermore. Amen. Let's join in the Lord's Prayer. Mother, Father, God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please stand now as we are as you're able to join in singing God of the Bible as displayed on the screen. This hymn is new to us, so Dennis will play the first few verses a little slowly so that we may learn the melody.
God of the Bible, God in the Gospel, hope seen in Jesus, hope yet to come. You are our center, daylight or darkness, freedom or prison, you are our home.
always faithful. I'm short. Our need for an experience of God is always changing. And so our experience of God evolves as we grow in our understanding of the family business. Our scripture this morning from the second chapter of Luke describes two family visits to the temple. The first visit was when Jesus was 8 days old and his parents brought him to receive God's blessing. Yet, just as we would bring an infant to church for baptism. The second visit is the story of our middle windows, when Jesus stayed behind to learn more about the family business. I am reading from the Common English Bible. First scripture is Luke 2:25 to 29, 36 to 38, and 41 to 49. A man named Simeon was in Jerusalem. He was righteous and devout. He eagerly anticipated the restoration of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. The Holy Spirit revealed to him that he wouldn't die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Led by the Spirit, he went into the temple area. Meanwhile, Jesus' parents brought the child to the temple so they could do what was customary by the law. Simeon took Jesus in his arms and praised God, and he said, "Now, Master, let your servant go in peace according to your word." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, who belonged to the tribe of Asher. She was very old. After she married, she lived with her husband for 7 years. She was now an 84-year-old widow. She never left the temple area, but worshiped God with fasting and prayer night and day. She approached at that very moment and began to praise God and to speak about Jesus to everyone who was looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Each year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. When he was 12 years old, they went to Jerusalem according to their custom. After the festival was over and they were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents didn't know that. Supposing that he was among their band of travelers, they journeyed for a full day while looking for him among their family members. When they didn't find Jesus, they returned to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple. He was sitting among the teachers, listening to them and putting questions to them. Everyone who heard him was amazed by his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were shocked. His mother said, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Listen, your father and I have been worried. We've been looking for you." And Jesus replied, "Why are you looking for me? Didn't you know that it was necessary to be in my Father's house?" This is the word and wisdom of God for the people of God.
Good morning again. So I'm going to warn you ahead of time that this is not going to be the most polished sermon you've ever heard, because I'm still wrestling with what to say even as I stand here before you. And so I have something prepared, but the Holy Spirit may have something else that comes out, and we'll see what happens. I do want to just give you a little background. Oh, before we do that, will you pray with me? God of love and light, wisdom and truth, be with me today, be with us today, so that whatever is spoken and heard is what we need to hear, things that we need from you. Guide me, guide us, as we sit together in this worship space, longing for a new reality, longing for your kingdom here on earth. Be with us. Be with me. I pray this in your precious Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I'd love to give you a little bit of background on our text from Luke. And, I said a little bit last week about Luke, but I'm going to say a little bit again today. Luke was written to show the hearers of the gospel that there was inclusion of the Jewish tradition for the Christ followers, and the prophecy had come true. And there's three parts, and there was universal salvation for both Jew and Gentile. So Luke comes from this perspective as he writes his gospel. It was written in the late first century under Roman rule. Now, the Roman Empire was ruled by kings and emperors, and kings and emperors even had temples built for them so that the citizens would worship them. And so this is where Luke's Christ followers find themselves. If they were to worship Jesus, worship God, then they are not being loyal to the king. And so these are choices that they are making day by day, moment by moment. And the author and location are actually unknown to scholars. So as we look at the text, I want to just note there are many references to women in Luke, the book of Luke. And I think I read that 23 out of the 46 references to women are found in Luke. Women are known to be faithful hearers of the story. And so given that, it's interesting that the parallel between Simeon's prophecy and Anna's story are parallel and similar. They're both waiting. They're both waiting for the Christ. Waiting. And Simeon has been waiting so long, and he just seems to be ready. He's ready to let go. He's ready to die. But he has heard from the prophet that he will not die until he sees Christ for himself. And so he waits. And he finally, with joy, sees Jesus Christ. And so he is so thrilled that he's able to now rest in peace. His soul may rest in peace. And then Anna, she tells everyone, I've seen the Christ. I've seen Jesus Christ. And she tells everyone, but she was 84 and had waited and waited and waited to see the Christ in Jesus. So, it's interesting to think about this temple visit of Jesus and how he stayed behind to be in the temple. But Luke finds it important for us to know that the family, Joseph and Mary and Jesus, were very observant Jews. They kept tradition. They kept all the traditions that they needed to keep. And so they took this very seriously, and every year they went to the temple during the Passover meal. And so in here you'll see, when I come clean about my brokenness, others catch glimpse. Oh, that must be ahead of, I'm sorry. Sorry. As I said, this is not polished. So the family tradition of being an observant Jew. The Holy Family was not a perfect family, as we can tell, because they left Jesus behind. They were not perfect. And then Jesus' answer was not so perfect either, was it? I know we think Jesus is perfect, but that was an interesting way to answer one's parent, huh? You knew I'd be here. It sounds like many, many 12-year-olds I have known. And so the family was not perfect. But it's interesting because God still lives in that messiness. God lives in the messiness of our families, of not being perfect parents and not being perfect children and not being the perfect family that everyone thinks that we are or what we think we need to be. But God lives in that messiness, and that's where this quote comes in by Jason Gray. When I come clean about my brokenness, others catch glimpses of how the real grace of a real God works in the messy life of a real person. So I'd like to take a moment to talk about this word called kingdom. As I said before, kingdom was a very common way to think about the Roman Empire or any empire because there was a king and there were the kingdom, the people that lived in the kingdom, but the king was the ultimate ruler. And this is the context that Luke was written. And so it just makes sense that Luke and other gospel writers would refer to God's kingdom as God's kingdom because that's what they knew. But kingdoms have insiders and outsiders, right? They have people who are in the kingdom and then people who aren't yet in the kingdom. And in Rome, that meant we're going to conquer you and we're going to make you like us and then you'll be a part of the kingdom. There's a new way of thinking that I am learning more and more about, and I wanted to share it with you today. And that is the concept of kindom. K-I-N-D-O-M. Now, what does kin mean? K-I-N. What does that mean? Family. It means family. And so some theologians are starting to use this reference instead of kingdom for a couple reasons. One is that if we're all made in the image of God, then we're all a part of God's family. We all are insiders when we talk about the family of God. Humans are all a part of the family of God. Another reason is that theologians and scholars have found that even though we hope and pray that all men are good, not all men are good. And sometimes people have a hard time with their upbringing, and there might be a man in their life who is not kind to them. And so to refer to God as a man might be hurtful rather than God as all loving and all powerful. And so sometimes people have a hard time with that concept. And if we think of God as God, this being, this spirit, this all everything, it broadens the scope of what God is. God is everything. And when we think of God as everything and not just as one gender, it opens up what God can be. We have in God a loving parent. We have in God a guiding presence that lets us make mistakes and lets us make successes. Just like Jesus was in the temple. Jesus in his Father's house. Now, Father's house is the way the Jews of the time would have described God, because God had a masculine pronoun. So Jesus in the temple, talking about law, talking about scripture, was doing God's work or being in the family business. So if we're all part of God's family, we're all in the family business. And I'm asking you today, how will you lean into your part, our part of the family business? So you may be thinking, everyone is in the family of God? Everyone? Really, Pastor? Even the haters are in the family, are in God's family? Yeah. And I say to you, my understanding is yes. Every family has people who lose their way, right? And if God is part of our family and we are part of God's family, then I pray that God will be with them and start to soften their hard hearts. As we hope in our nuclear family that those who are lost, that God will soften their hearts. Even Mary and Joseph lost Jesus. Family is messy. Humanity is not perfect. We are all a work in progress. And so given this shift of being in the family of God, God's kingdom, how will we as an individual and as a church show inclusion of all people, inclusion into God's family? How will we show that in our everyday lives? I found this image and I thought that it was pretty awesome. And her sign says, oh, I thought I could see it on the computer. Hate has no home here. Hate has no place in the family of God, only love. You know, yesterday really, really struck me. I had my sermon all prepared. I had everything all set. I was picking out images, and then I turned on the television at 11 a.m., and I was hit in the face with reality, that this stuff is messy, that being a part of God's family is messy, that being in a family with all these human beings who have all these choices is messy. And I once again lament and wonder how long is this going to take? How many times are we going to have to talk about God's love and show God's love and share God's love? How long before the hate just drifts away and justice rolls down like water? How long before we're all equal in each other's eyes? So sometimes in rallies and protests, there are clergy who walk alongside others who are there, who are protesting or rallying or whatever. And yesterday in Charlottesville, that was the same. And what I learned is that the clergy actually had things thrown at them and that they were beaten up. And it broke my heart again. And so I want to read to you something that the Church and Society, the General Board of Church and Society from the United Methodist Church wrote so that you know where we are. The United Methodist Church condemns in the strongest terms racism, white supremacy, and violence. It is written in our social principles, 162.A. There is no place for these evils in the church or in society. I join with Bishop Lewis, who is the bishop of this area, in praying for those who gather in Charlottesville to resist the evils of racism and who are beacons of the love and respect of Christ. This is a lot, and I stand with what Susan Henry Crow said, and I still have a lot to pray about and a lot to discern. And I'm wondering if others in this congregation are feeling the same way. Are you still trying to wrestle with what's going on in our country? What in our own lives are we going to do to counter this hateful way of thinking? How do we live out being a child of God, given all the love God has for us and all the love that God has for this world? I'm going to keep praying about that, and I hope you pray with me. One thing that we can do, and it's kind of super ironic that this is happening right now in this time, in this place, is that I really encourage us all to read this book, America's Original Sin, Racism, White Privilege, and the Bridge to a New America. We as individuals and we as a congregation and we as a country have a lot of work to do. And I'm hoping that this book can be one step in the process. Jim Wallace is a man of God. So this is framed from a Christian perspective. So know that it comes from that place. So I encourage all of us to read this book, whether we can read it and join a book study or just read it to read it and have it in our toolkit as we go through life, as we decide what actions we'll take and what actions we won't take in the new America. So I'll end with this. Today, I don't have all the answers. But there's one thing I know for sure, and that's that I choose love.
As we enter a time of giving, I'd like to remind everyone to please place their attendance slips that look like this,
the purple ones,
in the plate as the ushers come down the aisle. And I'd like our first-time visitors of the church to know that we do not expect a donation from you today. You are our guest. We are grateful you are here. Yet we do have a strong tradition of giving here at University Church. So as a symbol of our ministry in this place and beyond, let us bring our tithes, donations, and offerings. Let us remain standing and join me in, no, I'm sorry, wrong one. The song we sang as the doxology is a new one. It has a powerful message about the role we have to play in bringing about the kingdom of God. We'll get familiar with this as we sing it throughout this worship series. Please join me in the prayer of dedication adapted from Jack Knox's prayer and displayed on the screen. Gracious Lord, we learn for a world free of vengeance and violence.
We pray for your peace.
When the injustice of this world seems too much for us to handle,
help
When we feel ourselves filled with anger at those who are violent and oppressive,
help us remember to pray for those who are violent and give us compassion for others.
When we tell ourselves that we have given all we can to bring peace to this world, walk with us, Lord, as we answer your call to be peacemakers. Give us the courage, the patience, the serenity, the self-honesty, and the gentleness of spirit that are needed in a world filled with turmoil and terror. Amen. Please remain standing and joining me in singing I Choose Love. It's a different song than is listed in your bulletin. It's a hymn by Mark Miller, wrote in response to the killing of 9 persons attending a Bible study in Charleston in 2015. The words and music are displayed on the screen.
In the midst of pain, I choose love. In the midst of pain, I choose love. In the midst of pain, sorrow falling down like rain, I await the sun again. I choose love. I choose love. In the midst of war, I choose peace. In the midst of war, I choose peace. In the midst of war, hate and anger keep its score. I will seek the good once more. I choose peace. I choose peace. My world falls down, I will rise. When my world falls down, I will rise. When my world falls down,
In the midst of pain, I choose love. In the midst of pain, I choose love. In the midst of pain, sorrow falling down like rain, I await the sun again. I choose love. I choose love.
So if you need to stay and talk a while, please feel free to do that. If it's time to go, that's okay too. May Christ dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all God's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that is beyond knowledge, that you may be filled entirely with the fullness of God. Amen. Go now in love and peace.